Welcome to the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast. This is Michael with Play With Your Food Productions.
And this is Nathan with Legendary Productions.
And our host, Alfonso Garcia.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Alfonso.
I love how Alfonso goes, hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody. Such a
good... It's my catchphrase. We can put that on a shirt.
Mine's mine's later, and Mike, stop.
Yeah.
Mike, no.
Wait, say it like that again.
Mike, no. Let's start this over.
We have a guest today.
Yeah,
Nathan.
We have
Would
an
you
awesome
like to
guest.
Introduce her?
Savannah, she is epic. She's so cool. She's the topic today. I'll just tell you the topic. Actually, you want to read the title first?
The title of this episode?
Yeah, just so that I could kind of tell
you.
What's
yeah,
the title?
So you can transition as to what it's about. The episode title is, Are You Fake If You Play Both Sides?
So I only ask that because Savannah has been recently with Legendary. She helped out with costume, but she's been more behind the scenes lately, as well on stage. But she's been in a lot of our shows. I'll let her kind of tell a little bit of her history of Legendary and how she got involved and kind of what she's done. But she's costumes. She's done wigs, makeup, hair. Assisted directed. She's done all kinds of stuff with Legendary, and I know she's done others. So she worked on Shakespeare stuff as well. So she's done a lot of things, but she's kind of been more transitioning to, I'll say, a leadership role with Legendary. And
she's doing a great job with it too.
We've had some listeners actually reach out and be like, hey, is it hard? And we touched on this a little bit, and Alfonso's lost followers because of this. We talked about
24, but, I think was the total.
Yeah,
the final total before it started growing.
It's all right.
It's all right.
I'll create a fake account, become your friend.
Let's do it.
But people have been asking, is it hard in leadership to have friends that maybe don't like the leadership? I can't remember the wording exactly. They were like, is it hard to be a leader when your friends...
When they disagree with the leadership.
When they disagree with the leadership, that's what it was.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing because I'm not talking about Savannah's friends in general, but we all come from different, you know, friend groups. And I think it would be a cool kind of... I think it's a cool segment to chat about because it's real. Like I've talked about in the past, it's hard for me to have official friends at the theater because I feel like every audition I end up with more friends or views or likes, and then all of a sudden they disappear after. But I was just, and it's a great thing. And also I think it's a cool thing to talk about Savannah because the transition from being on the stage to being behind the scenes, what does that feel like? So if you have some questions you want to dive into, I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you first started doing theater, what is it that appealed to you about the production side of it that you wanted to see, and what made you kind of gravitate toward that aspect of it as well?
Honestly, when I started production, because I obviously started in high school, and I was on production because our fall shows were a lot of straight plays like Shakespeare, which I came from a choir background. I wasn't an actor per se at that time. I considered myself a singer and a dancer. So I had jumped on Wizard of Oz, and then that next fall, she was like, oh, I'd like you to continue at the theater. So I was like, I don't act. That's not my thing. And she was like, what about like costumes or building sets or anything? I was like, I can do costumes. That sounds fun. I know how to like hand sew. I'd love to learn more of it. So I started with costumes originally, and that's the only production I had done in theater until I got to Legendary. And I started with Legendary when they did Beauty and the Beast back in 2024.
Wow.
Correct?
It's been that long already.
Is that 2024?
Yeah.
24. I think so, yeah.
This will be the start of my third year with you guys.
Wow,
after
that's
the bowl.
So cool.
Really cool,
But so I started with them with Beauty and the Beast, and their next season started with Freaky Friday, and they needed a costumer, and I had assisted their previous costumer the show before. So I was like, I'll do it. I've got the experience. And it's a pretty modern show, so it didn't take too much, you know, thinking.
You did a great job with that.
Thank you
so much. It was a lot of work, I think. More than you actually thought.
Yes.
For sure.
Oh, yes. A lot more than I thought it would be. But I had a lot of fun. And then after that show, I didn't really do any more head costuming, but I did a little more assistant costume work. And then I had then hopped onto wigs because I'm also a hairstylist. So I was like, I feel like doing wigs and makeup might make a little more sense for me. And in my head, it works a lot easier and I don't have to think as much. So I started the transition over to wigs and makeup. I'm loving it. Can I say that?
Yeah.
I love doing hair. I really do. And especially getting to do What was the last show I did a wig for?
Little Women?
Seussical.
Seussical.
Oh, Seussical. Yes. Little Women I had fun with. It was a lot of fun. But Seussical was a whole nother level.
Didn't you do Cindy Lou Who? Whatever?
I did Cindy Lou Who, yeah, and I did like the original really cool. yeah. movie wig.
Yeah, you did so good at that.
That one took me probably 3 to 4 days to like configure in my brain how to even process the start of it. But it became one of my favorite passion projects. And I realized sculpting can be more than just using clay. You can sculpt with hair. You can do so many things with hair than anyone could ever even think of.
And this is what passion sounds like.
Yeah, yes. I love hearing that.
I love hearing that. This is interesting, though, because I do get this. I hear a lot of people that would like to take that step from, like, they enjoy acting, and sometimes they talk about wanting to go behind the scenes and help out there, but they don't feel like they're ready. I mean, they watch already an established group being there, like, oh, I'd like to do costumes. Oh, they already have a costumer. And, oh, I might do, lights looks fun, but they already got this expert, and I'm no good at that, or I want to learn, but I'm not as good as them. And so this actually, I think, would speak to a lot of people. You are kind of stepping in to that role. And I hear a lot of people just, they say that, like, I'm not ready. Did you feel like you weren't, you know, totally ready, and yet you did it anyway? You
just feel like I'm never fully ready.
You're never fully ready, but you did it anyway. That didn't stop you.
I was like, I'm the type of person that needs to constantly be moving. I got to be doing something at all times. If I sit for 5 minutes, I'm bored. I need to get up. I got to go. So it was kind of a thing like, if you guys need any extra hands, like, I don't mind. I'd love to jump on. And each project was like, oh, here's more that you have to learn. In my brain, I'm like, oh, no.
And at Legendary, any requests to help will be granted, and you will be put to work immediately.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Be very sparing when you tell anyone at Legendary you would like to help out, because we will go above and beyond with that, and you will be stuck with us.
Well, I think also our previous episode, we talked about burnout.
Yep.
People see that we have costumers and lighting designers, tech dudes, like choreographers. We have them, but we also want them to have a life and breathe, and sometimes they want to be in shows. Like Mark, who does a lot of our sound mainly, he literally says all the time, when we get a new sound guy so I could be on stage? I'm like, someday, like someday soon. It's like 10 years later. But I think also to speak on Savannah's eagerness, she was eager, but she did have a sense of reservation of like, oh, I don't know if I could do it. And I think part of that, I'm not saying yay, Nathan, but I think part of it is being supportive. Like, as you say, people are afraid of it. Well, find people that are going to be encouraging. And I feel like I've been, and Savannah, this is an open podcast. So you could be like, no, you're mean. But I feel like I try to encourage and give a lot of space, but also encouragement. And if things don't work out, it's okay. We'll figure it out. But I think that's the key to be willing to just go try. Most theaters, like, they're not going to be that mad if you're not perfect, because they need help. They want help. And they want to grow people, I hope. I mean, I hope that's their motive, I hope. But you definitely have grown a lot. And you started with cleaning up wigs. Mm-hmm. If you remember, I first said, how about, we had a different person doing wigs. And I was like, how about you help? And you already had general knowledge, obviously, of hair.
Yeah.
But I was like, hey, just clean them up. Can you just make them prettier? And you did. And then it grew into design it. And then you're designing them. It kind of was a stepping thing. And then you took, like, Little Women was a big one. And you guys.
It was. I loved every minute of it, though.
Well, you did great. You did a great job.
And you know what? And I will say this, and this is a bit of a harder question, because we've talked about now how you started out and how you're here and you've established yourself. Theater is a tricky thing, and maintaining relationships. And you have a lot of friends. You're very popular because you're a really cool person and people like being around you, and you're a good leader. So that's why you're in production. Is it difficult when you have all these friends and you have friends that disagree with that leadership and or the way this production runs? How difficult is that for you, and how do you navigate that?
It can be at times, I can say, because there's certain people, sometimes there'll be people like, oh, you're on leadership. Can you get this done for me? And it's like, well, I'm on leadership, but I'm not the number one saying, yes,
she's like, have you
we
met
can
Nathan?
Do this.
Like, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Like, I think one thing that people fail to understand sometimes is, even though on certain shows I'll be the head wig designer, head makeup designer, whatever, all the things that I come up with still need to be ran by Nathan to make sure that it's going to fit his vision. So it's a tricky question. I can't.
She's like, I don't want to lose followers like Alfonso. No. I can't afford to lose followers.
It's hard. No, but it is hard because...
Because you do have to draw a line.
And theater is very, it draws in, I'm just going to be straight, it draws big egos and big personalities that have big reactions to things
and
like, hey,
people
but
too.
Exactly, big reactions to things like, hey, why are you working with them? You know how they treated me. Or, hey, why would you do that when you know that they run things this way? Mm-hmm. How hard is that, though? Like, that's difficult, and that's a thing, right? That's a thing, because I know that I personally have to deal with that.
Yeah.
That's something, like, I'll have a conversation, and so how do you answer that question when you're approached to it?
When I'm approached to it, I when it comes to friendships inside the theater during, like, production time and during rehearsals, I kind of, in a way, try and treat everyone more of as, like, an acquaintance rather than a friend. You know, we're family right now. We're working. This isn't a time to kind of mess around. Whatever problems you had with them, that's a whole outside thing. That is not included in this space or this time period. So it's like, I kind of take those questions with a grain of salt, and I kind of just try and brush them off as much as I can. Because the more you feed into them, the more they can get like an ego sometimes.
I even have it on the other side of it where I get phone calls, text messages, Facebook messages from friends that aren't friends. I'm like, wait, or request to get a message that have said, oh, this person's horrible. Like, don't use them. Or, oh, no, please don't. You're going to be in for a treat. Be careful. They'll drop last minute. They get a better role. I get that all the time, too. And I would hope to think, I'm not speaking for Savannah, but I hope to think that the answer would be the same answer I have. That's not what I've experienced. They started with 100%. They haven't done that to me yet. And I hope, and obviously I hope this as the director, and we're talking, I guess, about Legendary, specifically in this moment, but I hope in any theater that someone would go, well, that's not the person that I deal with. That's not who I see. I hope that's the response. I know it's not. I've seen text messages, emails, and we've talked about this in our private life, but it's like, bro, I seen that text, and they come up and go, Nathan, they say, hug me, and you're like, I saw your message from yesterday, but it's okay. We'll hug it up anyway. I'm the fool, and you just go, ouch, but I still kill them with kindness, and I show them respect, and I just know that my trust level is going to only go so far. Unless it becomes toxic to the room, you could still be that way. That's fine. But we were friends outside of here. I know there's been backlash for being involved with Legendary or theaters or different companies in general that exist. And I do think it's funny, and I'm not going to point anyone out, but I think we're all guilty of playing both sides. And I think the title for this is a great thing. Is it fake or real? Kind of both. And I'm very cautious. I'm not fake. I'm very real. If I don't like you, you know it. Doesn't mean we can't work together. But, and I hopefully that translates to the production teams of Savannah and others on the production team. I hope that becomes a constant. Like, well, that's not what I've experienced. That sucks for you. Like, ooh, I'm mad with you, but that's not what I've experienced is what I hope. But I know that's not always the case. So,
is that awkward for you to get a text from somebody saying, hey, don't use this person?
It is.
Because you see something like that and you got to know, like, oh, they have it out for this person.
That's what I go to first, but I never want to push it away because one time it may be something that's very serious. So I try to be very cautious, and I don't go, I just usually go, hey, thanks for the heads up. I start at 100%, but I'll keep an eye out. Thank you. It's my general generic. And if they're bashing them or I feel like it's, I'll say too extreme, I'm a little more pointed going, wow, you probably should talk to them. Sounds like you really don't like them. Sounds like you have some drama going on. I'll call it out a little bit more.
At what point do you think we got to start paying attention to those? I mean, somebody writes in, and what if it's legit concern? Like, man, I just letting you know that this person was using drugs backstage, da, 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 as opposed to, yeah, they may drop. They're a jerk. Da, 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 where it just seems like they're
anything
out to ruin them.
Anything that's criminal or can hurt a child or opposite sex or anything that could hurt somebody. But I'm pretty blunt. Like, I have called people and said, hey, just so you know, I got a call from a random person. 9 times out of 10, they know who that person is. I'll be like, are you going to drop? Are you pretty loyal? Are you going to cause drama? Because I really don't want that. I say, we work too hard. Mm-hmm. I don't need that. And if there's any drama, you'll be gone quick. Like, but for right now, you're at 100%. And there's many people I've had that talk with, honestly. But I'm usually pointing. And if it's drugs and stuff, I'll be like, hey, you could do what you want on your own time. But if it's here, you're out.
Many, you've had this discussion many times. You get that many texts?
Probably a handful a year out of 6 shows, yeah.
Wouldn't you figure like you wouldn't have to deal with that once you get past high school?
I would like that. But I think people also start to realize who I am, and they know I'm kind of going to do, or Steve and I are going to do what we think is best for our theater and for the people we care about. I will also put out there, Steve's a former cop, and Steve's very good at, I'll say, being a detective. So I'm not, and I also am not afraid to say, I'll throw you out a window if you do something that would hurt somebody. Like, I'm not, I'll close the theater down afterwards and go sit in jail for a week or whatever. I'll throw you out a window. Like, I don't care. So I think people really know that about us. We're kind of straight shooters, but it is kind of sad sometimes. For me, it's more sad to be like, man, there's so much hate between you two. So I tell the other person, I'll say, you might want to talk to them. They just don't like you, and maybe they have valid reasons, and only you know that. But if you do that here, you're gone. Like,
I have a question here for Savannah.
Yeah.
It's something that I have to combat to and deal with, but because I'm close with Nathan, mm-hmm. one of my very best friends, brother.
Would have never thought.
And do people mistake the closeness that because you're very good friends with Nathan mm-hmm. as well, do you people mistake that closeness for favoritism? And how do you deal with that?
Yeah. I've had a couple people, like, when auditions, we finish auditions, we do the callbacks, and I'll get, like, ensemble, which I love doing ensemble. I will never be mad for getting an ensemble role, even if I'm wanting one of the, like, main roles. If I get ensemble, at the end of the day, I still get to sing and I still get to dance. And that's what I love to do no matter what, you know? But there will be people like, but you're so close with him. Why didn't you get the role? Mm. Like, well, it doesn't, the role isn't handed to someone depending on how close you are to the director or if you're on production team. That has nothing to do with getting roles. He's not playing favorites. If I get a role, it's not because he's playing favorites. It's because he actually sees something, you know? And that goes for anyone he casts. There'll be people like, oh, why'd they cast this person or this person? It's like, well, obviously, Nathan sees a vision in that person for the show that he is directing. So why are we, it's like, it'll be like the first like week or two. And it's like, well, why are we judging already? We have barely begun and you haven't really seen what's going on. You know,
I have a hard question. And you may be like, what have you, and we've talked about this in our outside the mic life, but has there been times and you don't have to elaborate, and Alfonso, this is for you too, because now that you've been more on stage and been more on the
production,
I'll say production side.
Right.
Have you said things in the past with your group of friends that then you go, crap, that's actually not what I think anymore, but I made that, you know, like I crossed that line. Like when people are fighting, you drew a line in the sand and you have to go, ah, crap, I'm crossing over that line now. And I probably look foolish or I shouldn't have said that. Actually, I don't know for both of you. I actually don't know that. Has there been times, and we'll say it's not legendary, it could be Magic World, but have you done that? And how do you work around that with your friends and also the production team? Like you look at them and go, I hated you, but now we're working together a lot. Like, has that happened? Maybe not. I don't think you had legendary. I don't think we've talked about that. Mm. And so I don't know that you have. I don't know that I've ever heard you say, I hate Nathan, now we're working together. But I wonder how it is to navigate it. Because I'm so cautious with friends, with the theater world. I don't deal with that. Because I kind of go, okay, that's it. Like, whatever. So, I don't know.
I try and be as open and honest as I can. If it's a topic that I don't want to talk about, I'll just go, I'm not comfortable.
Or you just avoid it.
Or I try and avoid it as much as I can. Or, worst comes to worst, if I need to play along, I'll play along. Yeah. Just to, like, not have to deal with whatever backlash they may bring my way. So sometimes, I guess on the topic of the whole question of today's podcast, sometimes you kind of got to be fake. If you don't want to deal with the drama, it's like, well.
And that's why I like the title, because it's true.
Yeah.
You sometimes almost have to play a part sometimes.
I wouldn't even call it being fake. I call it playing the game.
Yeah.
Like playing the game and just being aware of, like, having been cognizant enough to know that I'm reading these people, and if I say this a certain way,
you're gonna work
they're
going to
maybe
the
misread
weeks.
It, or they may misread it, or exactly. So it's not being fake; it's being actually very real and intentional with the choices that you're making. You know, I think.
Yeah, no, and I think that's valid. I come from a different angle, and part of it is there's hate groups on me. Like, so I kind of just go. I don't care.
But it's, to me, it's like, look, if anybody said, like, why are you working with Nathan? Like, do you know Nathan? I was like, I've personally worked with him, and I've had great experiences with him each time.
And he's sexy.
So I can't speak to... I can't speak to any experience that you had. It's just like what you said. So I would be a voice. I would actually, like, defend you. Said, like, well, that's not true. At least, like, if you're speaking on a general broad, you're full of, you know what?
Yeah.
That's my thought. But if you're speaking like in your personal mind, I can't speak to that.
Right.
That's your own personal. But if you're broadly speaking, Nathan Prince is a horrible director because of this. Well, then I'm going to be the one to say, well, you're wrong and this is why. But if it's your own personal moment.
I wasn't really trying to make that about me, but I just.
No, but that's the way. But if it's you,
thank
if
you.
It's my teacher, if it's my friend, whoever, that's the way I'm going
to
respond.
Because it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to navigate that. And I struggle with that.
Right.
Like, I have to go literally, are you my friend? I literally have to do that. I'm like, we'll see in a month. I'll give you 2 days. So, like, you know, Mike, what were you going
to say? I was going to say, this is interesting. And the fact that out of all we're on a theater podcast, and we could talk about blocking. We could talk about the choice of musicals. We could talk about lighting. We spend so much time talking about managing personalities.
That to me is 99% of the job.
Isn't that interesting?
So many people from different walks of life. It's like, oh, we really have to be cautious
going
on.
Even with things I say, because I'm not very good at speaking English, let alone being PC. I'm not good at that. It's not that I'm offensive. I genuinely love everyone. I love unicorns. Like, I love everyone. But it's hard sometimes to be like, oh, that hurt their feeling. I could tell you, Alfonso, that was rough tonight, bro. But tomorrow, let's bring it. I can go to Savannah and say, that was rough tonight, and she's crying in the dressing room. Not in real life. I'm just saying people handle it differently. I go to Mike and he's like, bite me, dude. That's what you get. You know,
and you know,
like,
what? That's why it's so important to let the director direct and let the assistant director give notes, or I let the choreographer choreograph, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that person, that director, cast all those people. So they have a general idea of maybe how to work with them. And like, I know that Alfonso responds this way to this, so I can talk to him this way. But if you have so-and-so like come up to me and say, hey, come up here. I'm going to be like, what? And then I'm going to, you're not telling me whereas Nathan would be like, hey, I think you're right here, right?
That is
where are you? I think you're right here, right? Oh yeah, I am. Where somebody might say, you're supposed to be right here, stupid. I'm like, oh, okay. And then my morale's shot for all of the rest of rehearsal. So that's why, and that's kind of a tangent, but that's also why if it ain't your role, stay in your lane.
I do that. I'll be like, are you over here? I think you're over here. And you're like, oh yeah, yeah. I'm like, I know. Like, gotcha. Yeah, that's true. That's funny. Yeah.
Anyway. You know, there's a comedian that John showed me a while ago. John, our sound man, he doesn't want to be put on the camera.
He doesn't want to be on camera, but John's dialing our sound so good. And he's after me all the time by the mic, but it just makes it sound so much better. Our old stuff was kind of crap. And, like in the beginning stages. John, thank you, man. Sorry, what were you saying to the comedian?
Oh yeah, no. John showed me Mitch Hedberg, and he's got this one like little observation. He says, "Man, I'll be laying in my bed at nighttime, and I think of a funny joke, but I'm too lazy to get up and get the pencil and the notepad to write it down. So I have to convince myself that joke's really not funny." And I kind of it just made me think of that, like when you talk about people who are kind of backbiters in theater, and it's like they audition for you. And they don't make it in. And so I just kind of wonder if, like, you know, they really wanted to be on your team. At some point, they did want to be a part of the team. And then they have this feeling like, oh, I wasn't good enough. I didn't make it. What happened? And so it's like almost like with that joke, they have to almost convince themselves that they don't really want to be on your team anymore.
And
like, you're the bad person.
That's so good, Mike, because I'm telling you, most of the time, That is what is. Some of the people that have talked, I'll say the most, I'll say mean things about me or about the theater, mm-hmm. were people that begged to be in shows and they were given opportunities and maybe they didn't take it to their full potential. They just thought they already had it or they didn't get it and they're mad and all of a sudden they're in groups that are like, oh, I don't do that theater. I have emails of you literally saying, thank you so much. You changed my life with this show. I can't wait to do another show with you. And you go, what? Like you, wait, when did you start hating me? Or when did our show suck? Like, I guess that was a switch. Like, so that is a lot of it. Sometimes it could just be a personality issue where you're like, we don't get along, dude. We're just not gonna, it's okay. Like, I'll still support you. I'll be your friend. I won't unfollow you.
It's okay. It's hard. Yeah. I wish people didn't have to, or didn't feel like they needed to base their self-worth on whether they got into a show or not.
Because I think, I could already think they're talented, just maybe not for this moment.
Yeah. So, and I have one more question to follow up with you. Now that you've taken on more responsibility, do you regret that at all in any way? Do you regret the fact that you are more
careful what you say
in a position?
No, honestly, I don't. As much as I've done so far, I'm enjoying it. I can say there's nothing that's been a hindrance to it, I guess. Even along with all the people asking questions about it, saying, oh, you're overworking yourself, you're doing this. And it's like, well, you're making a judgment on me, then you aren't me. but I feel like everything I've done so far has been not a breeze, but it hasn't been so heavy to the point where I've been like, I need a break. I need to go and do something else.
Well, I want to compliment you. I want to compliment you, Savannah, on just your growth from when you first started Legendary. You were more quiet, timid, shy, mm-hmm. if I may. But just your personality traits, your leadership, and just the growth you've done on the creative level off the stage, but on as well. It really, like, I'm not just saying because you help out, but it's been nice having you around and seeing you grow. And it sounds like an old professor telling you this, but it's a friend that really is proud of the growth that you are making and doing.
Thank you.
That's for me, that's the most gratifying or satisfying thing about being one of the leaders, is getting to see people to grow and flourish. And I think you definitely have on stage. You're Maisie. Was it Maisie? Yeah. I meant to say Suzical playing Maisie. You did so good at that. And it was just a moment where it's like a relay race and track. You're running and I hand you the baton. You ran with it and you finished. And I was like, go girl. Like, it was really good. And
it was one of those moments where it's like, I've got it. Now I got to do it. I have to bring it full power.
And that's a good example to anyone listening. When you get the opportunity, shine.
Yeah.
Do your best. And if you feel like you're coming up short, still make it your best, because that's how we grow.
Perfect. Well, Savannah also is going to be part of Disney's Frozen at the Redlands Bowl. That's another shameless plug.
Wait, where's it at?
That's at the Redlands Bowl in beautiful Redlands, California.
Did I hear that right? The Redlands Bowl?
I believe you said the Redlands Bowl.
I believe you did too.
Exactly. Right next to Smiley Library?
Yes.
That's the one. Wow. July 23rd through the 26th, come on out to that dress rehearsal on the 21st.
What you just heard was a sample of what it would sound like if you sponsor one of our shows. We will talk it up like crazy.
I will read whatever you want.
No, okay.
I've got a promotion.
Alfonso, wrap it up, bro.
All right, with that note.
Savannah, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And this is the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast. We will catch you next time.
See ya.
Later.